Would you join me in prayer?
Lord God, what a joy it is for us to come together as your people in worship and to declare your greatness, to speak of your holiness, to remind ourselves and each other of how awesome and wonderful you are. And Lord, we thank you that as we continue now in worship, that you would speak to us by your word, and that you would continue to lead our church. And we continue to pray, Lord, for Pastor Barry and Lee and the family, and just pray grace and strength and healing upon them. We are so thankful, God, to you for to know that in our difficulties and trial, we can turn to you. You're a good God. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. 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 Well, good morning again, Christ Community Church. It's a privilege for me to be able to share the Word of God with you again today. For those of you who do not know me, I am Mark Ramirez. I'm with the EFCA. That's also a part of, this church is a part of our denomination, but I'm also, my family, wife and I are members, and our son, members of this church, and glad to be a part of it and to be able to serve the church in this way. I wanted to start by asking you a question as we approach our text for today, and it's a question about whether or not you've ever had to recruit and organize volunteers for a ministry or a service project. Have you ever had to do that? And then how did that go for you? Was it easy? Was it difficult? Did you enjoy it? Were you like, I don't know that I'll ever do that again? And if you've ever worked on staff at a church, then I would say you're quite familiar with this task that I just mentioned. And it's not an easy one. In fact, I would expect that over the years you have heard probably most of the staff here at CCC make it known that more help is needed in certain areas of ministry. It kind of just goes along with the job. And I expect that it's quite safe for me to say that Sean and Pastor Dennis and Laurie and now Daniel could probably provide us with a list of potential opportunities for volunteers. And if you are that staff member that has to ask for more volunteers, your aim is always to kind of ask it in a way that is so creative and so clever that no one actually even knows you just asked them to volunteer. It's kind of part of how you do it. I can give you an example of how creative these can become, just so you can see all the work that goes into it. So here's an example. Wanted, big-hearted humans who aren't afraid of sticky hands or joyful noises. Apply in the hallway, P.S. Goldfish provided. Translation, we need help in the nursery. And that's just one example. And why this level of creativity? Well, because those asking for more help realize that it's quite easy for these requests to kind of get lost in the repetition of asking. But when we ask for more help, especially in the church setting, what are we really asking? Well, we're asking for people to use their gifts to serve the Lord and His church. Our church right now is in a season of uncertainty, as we prayed earlier for Pastor Barry and his family, and just in need of much prayer. And as a church, we need to believe that God doesn't waste any seasons of our life, even the one that we're going through right now. He uses them all to accomplish His purposes in His timing, in His way. And also, He uses them to accomplish the things that He believes matters most. And one of those things that matters is grace. which is what we're going to talk about today. Not just the grace that we receive, but the grace that we steward. In our text today, Peter writes to a church that's under pressure, exiles dispersed across the land. And he says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Stewards of grace, that's our calling. And again, some of you may feel uncertain in this season. Maybe you're wondering, Lord, what are you asking of me at this time? What are you asking of me or how to use my gifts? In what way are you calling me, Lord, to participate in what it is that you're doing here in this body? Well, Peter's answer, I think, is a really radical one. He says, you've already been equipped. The gifts have been provided. The grace is in your hands, so to speak. And when God's people embrace this, we can move from a volunteer culture to stewards who serve. And that's really when a church's serving culture can be transformed. And so today, my hope is simple. I just hope to encourage you to rediscover the joy of stewarding grace for the sake of this church and God's plans for it, for the sake of the community around us that God has providentially put us in, and for Christ's glory. So would you pray with me again, and we'll ask God to speak to us through his word, and would you ask him to just give you ears to hear and a heart and a mind that is open to receive what he has to say. Lord, thank you for your word. You are a God who speaks. Let us just take that in. A God who speaks. And this means that we listen. Give us ears to hear, hearts open, minds open to your word. In Christ's name, amen. So if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. That's really the passage that we'll be in pretty much primarily. I'm just going to exposit that. And this letter, again, is a letter that's written to encourage Christian exiles that have been dispersed. And these are believers in the faith. And here's what Peter writes. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so what I'd like to do is, as we go through this text, I want to start by just answering three basic questions that this text answers very quickly. The first question is, who has received a spiritual gift? Who's received a spiritual gift? And the text tells us that each of us, as believers, has received a gift. Again, basic, and I think most know this, we're familiar with this, but I think even in this basic question that there's something profound that we shouldn't miss. Yes, we each have a gift, but each has received is how the text tells us, and that means that they've been given. They're truly gifts. Sometimes we can say the word so often we forget that. Second question, what do we do with the spiritual gifts we've received? Well, we use them, right? That's what the text says. We use them. Gifts are to be used, exercised in the body. Body life in the local church is a place for gifts to be used. And then the third question is how? How do we use our spiritual gifts? Well, we use them to serve one another. Gifts received are to be used in serving one another in the body of Christ. And so some just basic questions asked and answered in this text. Nothing too surprising there. But Peter goes on, and he tells us way more than just that. In fact, I think what he says next is really what I believe to be the key to understanding spiritual gifts in a biblical way. And I think when this understanding that he shared here, when it's not embraced in the church at large, it limits quite substantially the proper use of gifts in the church. And I should also say that Peter's concern here is not listing the gifts. He's not going to do that. He's not primarily concerned with that. He's concerned with how they are used, the approach. In fact, Peter's telling us here that we are doing much more than just serving. We're doing much more than just meeting needs. We're doing much more than just volunteering. We're doing much more than just signing up. We're doing much more than lending a hand, filling a gap. So what is this first key then to unlocking this flow of people using their gifts in the body as the Lord has intended? First key is we must first understand that we are stewards of our gifts. That's what verse 10 is telling us. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards. Now, in my experience of 20 plus years of pastoring, I can tell you it seems that many believers do not realize this. Because when a person understands that they are a steward of something, it changes how they approach that which they are stewarding. And Peter understood this, which is why he's teaching this stewardship principle to the exiles dispersed across Asia Minor. And you would think, why do they need to hear this at that point in time and what they're dealing with? But they did, and we do today as well. So, question, throw out there, how do we as believers understand that we are stewards? And I would answer that and said, it seems that many think they are owners of the gifts, not stewards. Now, let me ask you a question. If this is true, if that statement is true, then my question is that a problem? And the answer to that is yes, it should be a problem. And it is a problem. And why is that? Well, it's because there's a substantial difference between owners and stewards. So let me give you just a brief definition, if you will, of owners. How would we define and distinguish owners? Well, owners have full control and authority over their resources and gifts, and they can use or squander them as they see fit, without accountability to anyone. That's an owner. They have control, they have authority, it's theirs to use, they can use it, squander it, without accountability. Now, I wonder, as we take a look at that thought and say, well, is that an approach that is being embraced by some in our churches across the U.S., the world? And then if that is happening, the issue then is not really the use of our gifts. And again, it's not then a volunteer issue. The issue is our approach and understanding. The issue is that we need to embrace what we are, stewards. So, to help distinguish then stewardship and ownership, let me give you some principles of stewardship that I think will make this more clear. First, stewards manage the resources of the master. So to be a steward, you know that you're not the owner. You're not the master. And so you are managing the resources of the master. That's one part of the principle of stewardship. Another principle is that stewards recognize that their primary goal as a steward is to grow and maximize their resources and gifts for the benefit of who? The master. That's what a steward does. Stewards only see benefit when the master is pleased. Stewards always have the pleasure of the master in mind in all that they do. Third principle, stewards recognize they are entrusted with the responsibility to use the Master's resources wisely and prudently. They understand they're accountable to the Master. And so stewards understand accountability, because stewardship really does not exist in its true form without accountability, because stewards have a master. And the pleasure of the master is always preeminent. And so as you can see, there's a substantial difference here between stewards and owners. And I wonder if we as believers in the local church understand and realize that all of us as believers are to steward our gifts at the pleasure of the Master. Now, the Master has called under-shepherds to lead his church, pastors. And the Master has tasked then these pastors to help their people understand these truths and to equip them to use those gifts for the work of the ministry. And it's the pastor that helps the congregation embrace that understanding of stewardship and steward and not owner. So in the context of our text and topic today, Peter is telling us that we are stewards, not owners. The gifts belong to God, not us. He's the owner. We are the stewards. Now, he tells us more than that. What kind of stewards are we to be? Does Peter tell us that? He does. He says, as good stewards. It's how the ESV translated, New American Standard. The NIV, if you have an NIV Bible, translated that faithful. We are to be good, faithful stewards of our gifts. The authoritative Word of God is telling us what kind of stewards we are to be. Now, if we are told in the text and in the Scriptures to be good stewards, I would then assume that there is another category of stewardship, right? Also, because if there are good stewards, then there are bad stewards. So again, a reminder to all believers that not only are we to be a good steward or to steward the resource, but we are to be a good and faithful one. Now, how would we distinguish then good stewardship from bad stewardship in this context that we've talked about? If you were to evaluate yourself, which is really what we should do rather than evaluating everybody else, right? Keeping this very simple and using the text itself to provide the answer, here's how I would say it. I would say good stewards recognize they are not the owners and seek to bring pleasure to the master by using their gifts as he desires for his benefit. That would be what I would say is a good steward. You recognize you're not the owner, you seek to bring pleasure to the master, and you use your gifts as he desires for his benefit. A bad steward would then be described as they think they are the owners and they use their gifts as they best see fit, hoping the master will be pleased with it. It's a very different scenario. Now, if we go to the Gospels and we see how Jesus talked about this in the parable of the talents, Jesus addressed this issue of stewardship. And he didn't use the term that I used here. Jesus was actually more punitively direct. He called the bad steward in Matthew 25 a wicked, slothful servant. Why? What was wicked and slothful about that servant? Well, the servant did not steward the resources of the master well. The servant hid the resources and hoped, right? Wasn't that kind of built into that parable? Hoping the master will be pleased. But the master was not pleased. So not only do we need to know that we are stewards, but we also need to know that we are to be good and faithful stewards. Now, let's now move to the second key to understanding the use of spiritual gifts. We talked about that first one, that we need to be stewards. This one that we're going to look at next answers an important question: what are we stewarding? And at first glance, The answer seems obvious. Well, we're stewarding the gifts of the Spirit. But that's not what Peter tells us in this text, as he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 10. As each has received a gift, there's the gift, there's the word, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Second key to unlocking gifts being used in the body as God intended is that we embrace the fact that we are stewards of multifaceted divine grace. I like the way that the New American Standard translated it. They translated it multifaceted. The ESV says God's varied grace. The NIV says grace in its various forms. The New King James says manifold grace of God. Why all these different translations from all these scholars? Well, because they're trying to capture in English the diversity of the gifts given to the church. That's the heart of this. And that word grace is a game changer. It's a game changer. Follow me on this. So it's not just gifts of service. It's not just gifts of mercy. It's not just gifts of teaching that we're stewarding. We are stewards of grace, the multifaceted grace of God. Now, in what way is this grace multifaceted? Why is it being presented that way? Well, it's multifaceted and varied in the body in the distinct way that the Spirit of God has apportioned the gifts in the body. So, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 12 here quick that Paul wrote. So, we're looking at a letter that Peter wrote, but Peter and Paul are on the same track here. And I would see that as aligning with the Spirit of God is bringing them together. Here's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 12. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service. There's that variety again, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities. Same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Verse 11, all these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. So in the end, when we come to terms with this, we recognize that we're stewarding much more than just gifts and skills. We're stewarding grace, not our grace. Don't misunderstand. It's God's grace. Now, in what ways are we stewarding this varied, multifaceted grace? Well, first, one way is that each of us are to allow the Spirit of God to use our gifts and skills as instruments of divine grace to others. This is a more individual effect, right? Each of us are allowing the Spirit of God to use our gifts and our skills as instruments in His hand, and those instruments are then expressing the grace of God to others through the use of the gift. So it's, again, this is telling us something. It's more than just serving. It's more than just gifts of mercy. It's more than gifts of teaching. We're stewarding the grace of God in how we allow ourselves to be instruments in the Spirit's hand. It's the Spirit at work, but we are the instrument of that work as we faithfully steward the gift that we've received. Second way that this stewarding is happening is the good and faithful stewarding of the gifts of the Spirit in the body of Christ results in the maximum display then of the multifaceted grace of God within His body and to the world. It's a lot of words. That's the corporate effect. So the first one I gave you was each of us, but when the each of us come together And that each is now expressing this together, there is a corporate effect. Which is basically saying that the more faithfully that we steward the gifts in the body, the more varied grace is on display in our churches and then to the world around us and to the community around us. Let me give you two examples of this. In Acts 11, if you look at that text, you write that passage down, look at it later, Barnabas saw grace. That's how the text tells us in Acts 11 and verse 23. He saw grace. How do you see grace? Well, when the men of Cyprus and the men of Cyrene were preaching the gospel and many believed, what he was seeing on display is the grace of God being manifested. That's an example of this, the gifts at work. In 2 Corinthians 8, another example, Paul said that he saw grace when the Macedonian church gave generously, when there was this generous giving out of extreme poverty through the expression of varied gifts being used to give. Grace was on display. So these are some ways that we're stewarding this multifaceted grace. And then from here, Peter finally mentions some specific gifts. Remember, we talked about that. He's not mentioning the gifts, but he does so generally. He mentions speaking gifts and serving gifts. Verse 11, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. So whether speaking gifts or serving gifts, what Peter is saying is be a good steward. If you speak, understand that you're speaking as an instrument of God. If you serve, serve in the strength that God supplies, not your own. Burnout can happen in a church and in ministry and in serving. I've seen it over years and years of ministry. But it happens when people serve in their own strength or out of need that the church has. There's a need, and the need is it's being met. There's a desire to meet that need. And what we really need to be doing is serving out of the overflow of the gifts that the Spirit has given us. So steward your speaking gift, steward your serving gift. You're not the owner. God is. Through the Spirit. And then Peter moves us from here. He goes on. He doesn't end. He moves us to the purpose of this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts. So there's more. What is the purpose of this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts in the body? Verse 11. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. So Peter lets us know here, what's so awesome about this is that the entire Godhead is involved in this purpose. The Spirit is the one who gives the gifts and empowers the gifts, right? This kind of faithful stewardship brings glory to God. God the Father is glorified, and that glory is happening in and through the person of Christ. It's beautiful. What's happening? And you're going, that happens when I just use my gift? There's so much more happening than we realize. There's gospel witness in this kind of faithful stewardship of gifts in the body of Christ. And I think it's important to say that, brothers and sisters, This text is not trying to help churches increase volunteerism. It's not what it's doing. This text is not trying to make sure that all of our fall ministry openings are filled. This text is about increasing glory to God through the faithful stewardship of our gifts in the body, of God's varied grace in the body of Christ. But the gifts must be used. Notice verse 11. In everything God may be glorified. Through who? Jesus Christ. And so you can almost see Peter's our writer here, right? Peter puts the emphasis on the master, where it belongs, right? Not the steward. His emphasis is not the steward, it's the master. Just another text to remind us that it's not about us. We are the instruments. That's all. But the Lord provides the power. They are His gifts. It's His grace being stewarded. And He gets all of the glory. And it all happens through Jesus Christ. Christ is exalted as His people submit themselves to the Spirit by faithfully stewarding the gifts that He's given them to be used for the Master's glory. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful picture. And then Peter ends this thought in a really unique way. He ends it with a doxology. As he considers the incredible thought of people like us, fallen, broken jars of clay, being used in this way for holy purposes, instruments of grace, Peter is brought to worship and exaltation. Look what he says in verse 11. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. How do you go from writing about using gifts to that? Because he's understanding what's happening, what this all means. And really, think about this. This should be the response of all saints using their gifts. So I want you to think about that. Let this text right here be part of the expression of you using your gift. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Even in this small task that I'm doing for the glory of God. It's a beautiful ending. And who knows, I was thinking about this, Peter, especially the one who writes this, right? Perhaps Peter is writing this and is remembering some of his past. He's remembering, I denied Jesus. Maybe he's thinking about the day that he walked on water and then sank back into the sea. Maybe he remembered the vivid words of Jesus saying, "Get behind me, Satan." And maybe with all of that, he's going, how in the world can this holy, powerful God, how could he have chosen to use me, to use my gifts for his purposes and for his glory? And maybe just overwhelmed, his response was, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Because isn't it amazing that this holy, powerful God can use us in this way? It's amazing. These kinds of thoughts bring us to our knees. How is it that this God of all glory, God of all power, has chosen to use me, chosen to use you, use us? But He has. It's His way. This text reminded me of something. I'm a big Lord of the Rings fan, and in The Lord of the Rings, in The Return of the King, there's a scene that I think really represents this well. It's Gandalf confronts Denethor, the steward, the Lord of Gondor. And here's what Gandalf says, and if I could, I would say this in my Gandalf wizard voice, but I tried at home and it didn't come out good. But I really do want to try to say it that way, but the Lord of Gondor, here's what he says. He's looking at him, and you got to picture this scene, and he says, the Lord of Gondor is not a king, but a steward, a caretaker, until the true king returns. And then he says to him, will you not set aside your pride and fight for your people? And here's how Denethor responds. The king will not return. Gondor is mine. And I will rule as I see fit. Do you see what the problem was for Denethor, the steward? He thought he was the owner. He thought he was king. Brothers and sisters, as we close today, let's remember this. You are not owners. You are stewards. We are stewards. Stewardship reminds us of something. Our King is returning. Everything belongs to Him. It's not ours. It all belongs to Him. We're not volunteers. We're instruments of God's multifaceted grace. And in this season of praying for our pastor and his family and the church and waiting on the Lord, let us steward this grace well. What an encouragement that would be to Pastor Barry to see that happening in this body. So as you look around this room, think, the gifts are here. The grace is in our hands. It's been given to us. We don't need to wait for someone else to step in. We are the stewards that God has appointed for this time that we're in right now. Peter ends with that doxology, to Him belong glory and dominion forever, because that's where faithful stewardship always leads, to worship. So let us leave today, not as owners clutching our gifts, but as stewards with open hands. And then watch how God multiplies your faithfulness for the good of this church, for the sake of the gospel, and for the glory of our returning King. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, You are so good to us. Even in this act of using our gifts for Your honor and Your glory, there is so much happening supernaturally. Lord, You have equipped this body here, Christ Community Church at Daytona Beach, with this people to use their gifts for Your glory and honor. Help us to be faithful in that. Lord, our desire is to be faithful, good stewards, to honor You and to glorify You. Help us to do that, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. And even now, Lord, as we prepare ourselves to receive and to come to Your table, help us to recognize that even in the table, it is an expression of the grace of God in the bread and in the cup. And it's an expression of giving. It's been given to us. Help us, Lord, to use our gifts for Your glory and honor. In Christ's name, amen.